fishing regulations.
Moving on to fishing regulations, before we get to our specific action items, at the last commission meeting, you had asked us to address a couple of things in relation to regulations. So before I jump into our action items, you had asked us to give an overview of our fishing regulation change process, and you had also asked for more information on the Canyon Ferry Reservoir Management Plan. So before I start, just as a reminder, the fishing regulations are on a four-year cycle. The first year of each cycle is dedicated to actively soliciting ideas for changes from the public. The next 3 years are considered off-cycle years, and during those years, we solicit ideas from department biologists, fish managers, and enforcement staff. During off-cycle years, changes have to meet certain criteria, which are to achieve enforcement needs, to provide for clarification, for conservation, to address regulations that are no longer relevant, or to fulfill direction in management plans. The two items that you'll be taking action on today fall into the latter category of fulfilling direction and management plans. The next year, with full public involvement, will be for the 2020 fishing regulations, so we'll be starting that process soon. Just as a reminder, at the October meeting, you did approve a package of changes for public comment, and you also approved the rest of the regulations that stayed consistent, and the copy of the 2018 fishing regulations is now available if you want to pick up a copy. The other issue you asked for clarification on was in relation to the next steps for the Canyon Ferry Reservoir Management. Staff will continue population monitoring and creel surveys to examine the effectiveness of any regulation changes. If walleye abundances decrease to management target, the bag limit and length restrictions will be reevaluated in order to maintain the multi-species fishery as outlined in the management plan. If walleye abundances continue to increase, the management plan prescribes additional actions such as removing bag limits, spearing, targeted netting removals, and other active management actions to reduce walleye numbers, again in order to achieve the multi-species fishery goals as described in the management plan. So with that, I'll move on to our two items that require action. At the December meeting, you approved two proposals for public comment. One was on Canyon Ferry Reservoir and was to increase the bag limit for walleye from 12 to 20 and to change only 1 over 25 inches to 1 over 20 inches. A total of 42 comments were received. Most comments supported the increased bag limit but desired a different length restriction, with many commenters preferring only 1 over 16 inches instead of 1 over 20 inches. Our recommendation for the Canyon Ferry Reservoir regulation is to stick with the original proposal, which based on our monitoring data will better achieve the management goals than any of the alternatives provided by the public. The second proposal approved in December for public comment was on Newland Creek Reservoir, which was to create a kokanee snagging season with limits of 35 daily and 70 in possession. Four comments were received on this proposal. Three were in favor of the kokanee snagging, but two of those expressed a desire for a lower bag limit. Our recommendation is to reduce the proposed bag limit to 15 daily and 30 in possession. This should allow for more public opportunity, which we will evaluate the interest in this new opportunity. If approved, neither of these regulations will appear in the booklet. However, we will ensure that the changes are posted at public access sites on both reservoirs.
We have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Fish and Wildlife Commission adopt FWP's proposed regulation changes for the 2018 fishing season.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I have a couple questions. I noticed somewhere in there you said that it's too late for us to get these regulations in this year's booklet. Is that because we didn't have a meeting in January?
Chairman Vermillion, the reason they're not in the booklet is our booklet gets finalized. We work on it in the fall, and it gets finalized over the winter in order to be available for the new fishing season. The information for both of these became available during the fall when it was too late to get through the proposal and final rule phase in time to reach the booklet timing. So we presented the proposal to you at the December meeting, public comment, and now we're coming with the final. Even if we had had a meeting in January, we still would have missed the deadline for the booklet.
All right. I guess my second question is, in reading this public comment, it is pretty clear there's, and I think they have a pretty strong argument, at least from a common sense perspective, that a 16-inch cutoff of the slot is going to focus more of the harvest in the fish that are smaller than 16 inches. And then if you have only one over 20, you're going to have a lot of fish harvested between 16 and 20, and you're going to wipe out that age group that we're trying to get to be bigger fish. I'm curious about what department data or monitoring data is indicating that having a slot limit with 1 over 20 being better than 1 over 16. And my second part of that question, does the management plan that we talked about with Mr. Pyra's appeal, does it specifically call for this management prescription in this situation based on the data that the department has?
Chairman Vermillion, if it's okay with you, I will direct that question to Eric Roberts or Grant Grisak, who will be able to address it better.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Eric Roberts, new Fish Management Bureau Chief, ex-biologist, but it also happens to be this is my, with my previous job title, my area of expertise. We did a lot of evaluation of our walleye population, especially in Canyon Ferry. And when we came up with this proposal, we did reach out with some walleye advocacy groups here locally and talk to them about what we were proposing. And so we knew that they supported the lower length restriction. We did a pretty thorough evaluation of these different incremental length restrictions. The concern with the dropping that length restriction from 20 inches down to 16 inches is it's going to reduce the window of opportunity to focus harvest on this young cohort of fish. So we caught a record number of walleye in our fall gill nets, and those walleye were mostly small, young fish. And the concern with having only one fish greater than 16 inches, those fish are only going to be vulnerable to angling for less than one fishing season. And what we would like to avoid is to have come back to you next year at the same time and have the same discussion again. Because, again, this is a record number of walleye. This is more walleye in these young cohorts than we've ever seen before. And we want to really make sure that we have enough opportunity for anglers to harvest enough fish to impact the population and bring the population numbers down.
Okay. Makes sense, I guess. Any further questions? My other question was, does the management plan, I know it's pretty specific in certain areas, does it say if we hit these trigger points, we're going to put in a slot, or does it say the department has a discretion based on what it thinks the data, best way to reach their management goal?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Commissioners, there's a little bit of discretion there, but the overall objective is to maintain a multi-species fishery. And so as walleye numbers, if this works as intended, we should see walleye numbers come down. When we get below those management triggers, we'll reevaluate where we're at. And that's looking at walleye numbers, walleye sizes, but it's also looking at other species out there, primarily perch, rainbow trout, and we'll look at where those populations are and try to determine an appropriate bag limit, size restriction as these dynamic populations change.
So I hadn't been thinking about it this way, but it sounds to me like what we're talking about really is a balancing act between perch, trout and walleye and trying to come up with the proper balance that reflects the public's interest for that fishery?
Mr. Chair, that's exactly that's the overreaching objective of the management plan, is to balance these fisheries.
All right. Thank you. Any further comments or questions for the department?
Anybody? Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Richard.
On one of the comments, it really doesn't deal with what we're talking about, but it is in the comments, so I'm going to ask a question. And I'll read just the first two sentences. I have a 16-foot runabout with a 60-horsepower motor. I've spent 14 years with search and rescue, and I can tell you that it's unsafe for me to fish flathead and run over 6 miles at a time in the winter months. A budget argument is not a reason for closing down all of Flathead Lake, Whitefish Lake, and most of the Thompson Falls chain boat landings. Could somebody explain to me what is going on there if we're closing these in the winter due to a budget shortfall, or are we in an argument with some of the local communities, or is this gentleman misrepresenting something?
Mr. Stuka, if we could just hold that question until we finish the fishing regs, and then we'll address that one separately, if that's all right with you?
That's fine with me.
Okay. Further, any public comment on the fishing regulation changes proposed by the department? And I'm sorry, forgotten your name, but Eric, so as part of the process that we're going to be undertaking next year in 2019 to redo the, or at least revisit the Upper Missouri Watershed Management Plan, I assume these are sort of discussions that you guys will be having next year when you reformulate a citizens group to deal with that management plan?
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, we're still discussing how we're going to address the new management plan. One thing that we are discussing is we feel our management goals and triggers we're set at a pretty good spot to maintain multi-species fisheries in all these reservoirs. But regardless if we convene a citizen work group or not, this will still be a very rigorous public process. There's enough public interest in this that it will be we'll solicit lots of input from a diversity of user groups when updating this plan.
And do other advocates say, whether they're perch advocates or trout advocates, do they have concerns that if we have too much of a trophy walleye fisherman on Canyon Ferry that would affect the fishing of rainbows and perch? Because I assume perch are a huge part of the walleye's diet.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. Perch are a primary food item for walleye. They select for those. But again, that's as you mentioned earlier, that's the juggling act we're dealing with. How do we maintain and manage a top level predator, but also maintain a quality fishery for its primary prey? And so it's a delicate act.
Well, I think the one caution I would give you is, as the department goes forward in formulating this next management plan for the next 10 years, I think you can see how the commission dealt this morning with this appeal. The importance of having a really public process and a ton of public involvement at the table during that process gives that management plan a lot more strength to manage the fishery effectively over the course of its life. So the department to do as much of that as possible on this one.
Yeah, I would maybe add a little to the commissioner's comment there, eh? Or the chair's comments. When you put a general statement in, you know, that you really want to, this is what we want to achieve in a goal kind of a thing, and then you put specifics in under it to illustrate it. It's pretty hard to get around those for me. So.
All right, thank you. Seeing no further public comment, no further comments from the commission, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Aye.
Future fisheries. Oh, wait, Rich, do you want to ask your question of Eileen right
now?
Yeah,
I would. Yeah, if somebody can answer my question on what I asked from that public comment that came in on the fishing regs, I would appreciate it.
Chairman Vermillion, Commissioner Stuker, our understanding is that is probably in relation to snow plowing that wasn't able to occur in Region 1 parks over the winter. And what has happened is we did authorize fishery staff from the SAS program to assist in the plowing to allow for access My understanding from Parks is that they did not have the budget necessary to keep up with the plowing, but it has since been rectified. If anyone is available from Region 1, they may have an update.
Jim and crew, are you guys up there? I saw you earlier.
This is more of a Parks issue than ours. Is that correct, Tim?
I guess that's a good question. Is this, more of a Parks issue than it is a Fish and Wildlife issue?
Okay. Commissioner Vermillion and members, my name is Mike Hensler. I'm acting R1 Fisheries Program Manager, and what's been said is it's pretty much spot on, that especially in the Parks access sites, it's a funding issue. We've been able to make some agreements in some other parts, for sure, of Region 1 with, say, county folks to allow us to get some plowing done and get some access there. So as far as Flathead Lake goes, I'm not sure if all of that has been accomplished yet, but certainly know that we're working on that.
All right. Thank you. Rich, does that end? Go ahead.
Director Williams. I just wanted to add.
Okay, Director Williams is going to speak real quickly, Rich.
I just want to follow up on those comments, and that I know that some of the Flathead Lake fishing access sites and parks have been plowed, but I don't know that we've been able to get to all of them.
Seems like
okay, that answered my question. Thank you.
Like a classic case of the legislature underfunds government, it's difficult to services to the public. Okay.